Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. This is Carl Schinneman, Director of Legal Analytics and Review at Juranoff, and welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, where we offer information from national speakers on electronic discovery at a price everyone can afford, which is free, and available when they're interested in listening to it, which is when you download it on your iPod, iPad, and have 30 or 40 minutes to listen to a show. Today we have a real interesting show, which I'm personally thrilled to be doing. You know, everyone talks about the need to have metrics so you can measure what you're actually doing well and also improve areas which need shoring up. But few people who have talked the talk have actually tried to create a company assisting lawyers in this space. So as an entrepreneur, I totally respect Alex Buck, who's our guest, for taking the leap with her expertise in electronic, before her expertise in electronic discovery called her back into the field. So we're doing the show with Alex Buck, who now heads up the electronic discovery practice at the preeminent litigation law firm of Bartlett & Beck. Alex has been with Bartlett & Beck from 2010 onward, and she's the e-discovery and technology counsel, and before that, she was with Abbott Laboratories from 2007 to 2010 as the director and senior counsel of e-discovery and records management. Before that, she worked with my good friends at Reed Smith as an associate, and then a firm Fitzpatrick, Sella, Harper, and Cinto before that as an associate. But she's an electronic discovery attorney and consultant. She's got good practical knowledge of electronic discovery protocols and implementation, skilled litigator, strong background in electronic property, including patent, trademark trials, and general commercial litigations. One of the really interesting things of Alex's background is she's co-chair of the Communications and Outreach Subcommittee for the Seventh Circuit Electronic Discovery Committee. And for those of you who haven't made it to Chicago or around the Seventh Circuit, it's a great space to go because there's so much dialogue going on about how to do this space better. She's involved with the Sedona's Working Group 1 on Electronic Document Retention and Production, a member of the Corporate eDiscovery Forum from 2007 to present, and also finds some time to teach students at the Loyola University Chicago School of Law. Alex, thanks for joining us here on ESI Bytes.
Thanks for having me, Carl. That was quite a lengthy introduction.
You have a lengthy background.
Right.
Kudos to you. So, first of all, I always like to ask people, how did you get interested in electronic discovery?
That's a great question. My interest really grew very organically. I have a bachelor's degree in computer science and was practicing commercial litigation and patent litigation. And when there was buzz about the federal rules being changed and e-discovery, a lot of our institutional clients said, hey, we need help with this. We need to put litigation readiness protocols in place. And so I was the person in the firm when I was at Sacnoff and Weaver who was the go-to person because of my background. And it really developed on its own into an e-discovery practice group there, built a team, and we started helping not only our institutional clients but new clients put together litigation readiness protocols and just dealing with e-discovery generally.
So now let's move into the topic a little bit. How did you get interested in metrics?
Well, metrics became key to my life when I was in-house at Abbott Labs. Really, when you're in-house in the corporate environment, metrics are king. We needed to justify costs all the time. We needed to also accurately predict budgets, which really is a black hole. If you don't know what you've spent, how can you predict what you are going to spend? And I also started collecting metrics to make my case for investing in new technologies or new processes. I really needed those numbers and to know the costs in order to do my job.
Okay. And if you look at electronic discovery, why are these metrics important today?
Well, look, I think metrics are crucial in any environment, but especially in e-discovery because it can blow out of control so quickly. So, for example, at the earliest stage in a case, you need to assess your exposure, right? How far do we want to go in this litigation? What do we want to settle? And how can you do that if you don't know or if you don't have an accurate predictor of what you would spend should you move forward with litigation? And I find that, you know, lawyers have become really good at figuring out what they're going to spend on outside counsel, but they're still pretty bad at figuring out discovery costs. with all the electronic data going on. So if you have no way to predict your e-discovery costs, you're not going to make a valid assessment. And really, there's no way, like I said before, to predict your costs if you haven't kept track of them to begin with.
Yeah, I guess it all comes back to proportionality, and how do you make those arguments if you don't understand what it could cost?
Right, exactly.
So, you know, in your study of this area, what types of metrics do you think in e-discovery are the most important?
So, I mean, metrics is really a buzzword, right? It's just really numbers that are important to you. So, for example, let's say what is important to you today is to predict budgets and litigation moving forward. You're going to want to keep track of what I call the golden nugget, which is what is your average number of gigabytes per custodian? Knowing what you know about your past cases, when you're all in, if you have to collect for a person, what's your average number of gigabytes? If you have that number, you can pretty much easily predict the rest of your e-discovery costs all the way through review. And, of course, that's going to vary based on what business unit is involved, based on the type of litigation. But the more of that data that you track and keep, the better you'll be able to say, oh, okay, I've got a general commercial litigation involving my XYZ business unit, my average custodian has 2 gigabytes of data in that business unit for this type of matter. And then you can predict all the following costs. Then, of course, you need to have consistent costs with respect to processing that data. One of the hurdles a lot of corporations felt in the past was outside counsel was managing all the e-discovery vendors. And so the range of prices was all over the board. If you bring part of that process in-house or manage those vendor relationships in-house, you can have a very predictable cost per gigabyte element, if you will, and you know exactly what you're getting yourself into. I also like to keep track of average rate of review. So depending how I conduct my review, I need to know how fast can I get through this data accurately and at what cost. Because as everyone knows, because this horse has been beaten to death, the largest cost in e-discovery is the review cost. I think that's sort of a general list of things that I like to keep track of in terms of predicting budgets. Now, on the other hand, let's say you're interested in making a burden argument to the other side. We cannot collect from 300 custodians because it is unduly burdensome for the corporation, et cetera. There, I like to keep track of average total volume for a particular case, because if you're about to make a burden argument, you generally haven't collected or processed the data yet. So you have to know, for this type of case and this type of business unit, how much data am I dealing with total? I also, and this is a much harder metric to keep, but I also like to keep track of internal hours spent and the efforts spent internally with a client to extract the data and collect the data. As you know, Carl, you know, more people are doing this internally. And so, you know, everybody says, well, that's a soft cost. Well, that is a cost to the business, and people are, it's rare that that is the only job somebody has, so you should keep track of those soft costs if possible.
Okay. Those are great metrics if you can get your hands on them, those numbers. So how do you approach this metric gathering? I mean, do you rely on the vendors to provide you embedded, you know, abilities to create reports in their tools, or do you expect to come out of a project manager with the back of a pad, paper, or Excel spreadsheet type of an approach?
Well, I mean, I think it's got to be a hybrid approach. Clearly, if you're using vendors on the processing side and on the review side, I expect them to give me metrics on everything. I give them a list monthly, sometimes weekly. I want to know how we're doing. I know how much data you have, how much are we culling, and how much are we spending. Additionally, you've got to do your own internal metrics. So as I talked about the soft costs, that's really hard to get from anyone else except internally, where you're sitting there with a spreadsheet. And it is time-consuming, and it's not a small effort, but if you use your vendors, use your PMs, and then try to get your resources internally to start tracking certain things, you can sort of pool it all together, and the benefit is huge in terms of cost savings and, you know, new technology, the things that I've already mentioned.
So, I mean, you have these numbers, you know, where do you store them? You know, how do you share them? Who do you share them with?
Well, that's a great question. Where you store them, I mean, unfortunately, right now, everybody's storing them in Excel spreadsheets or some sort of other rudimentary database. We've talked before about sort of this hole in the market. There needs to be a tool out there that sort of combines all these metrics so that people can track them and then use them to predict things in the future. And I'm all about sharing it with everyone. When I was in-house at Abbott, those metrics were shared with outside counsel, so they knew where we were from a budget perspective. Now, as outside counsel, I really encourage our clients to be very open with the metrics and the costs involved, because we all should have a common goal of keeping those costs down and finding ways of improvement. So I guess the short answer is share with as many people as possible and store it where you can, but gee, it would be nice to have some sort of program or software that would help with this.
Can you think back on, you know, this is something I just thought of, and you have these metrics. Can you think back of any specific, you know, not specific, but any general type of successes that you've seen where it's like, oh, my God, this number really helped?
Oh, absolutely. So back to my time at Abbott, we tracked our e-discovery spend for a full year on every single case, and we broke it down. Like I talked about, type of litigation, the business unit that it originated from, if that was applicable. And we were able to make a case for bringing part of the process in-house, the pre-processing step, because we figured out how much money we were spending on, you know, simply doing a very rudimentary cull of the data. Without those metrics, without me saying, this is how much money we've spent in the last year, and this is how much we will likely save, I would have never been able to make that business case. And this is a common story in corporations. You've got to show what you've spent and what your savings would be. And then, of course, you have to validate that, right? So the year after you implement whatever you wanted to, you have to show, you know what, we did realize these savings. And then you're more likely to have street cred, if you will, next time you go to them.
Okay. And, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, recognize the numbers are so big that the metrics really can help. But I still, my experience is most people still aren't doing this. Do you have suggestions for people that have never used metrics on how to get started or how to find a person that wants to do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything. You've got to start somewhere. Open up that spreadsheet program and just start tracking, maybe even just number of custodians and number of total gigabytes that you've collected. I find that you know, the more you get into this process, you become more eager to get more detail and you want more numbers, because it's nice to play with them and try to find trends. For example, with a former client, we tracked the various business units, like I mentioned, and we were able to see a trend that one of the business units had a higher average gigabyte per custodian than the rest of the business units, and their cull rate, so when I applied my general search terms or date limitations or file type limitations, was much lower than other business units. And, you know, doing some digging, we found that it was their practice of saving documents. There was a lot of duplication in terms of shared sites, a lot of things that were saved in multiple places. So, you know, we were able to go back and say, wow, we see a trend here. Is there a way to fix it? Because it will affect our bottom line. So, I mean, to answer your original question, you got to start somewhere. And maybe this is the type of project that you do outsource. You do look for maybe a metrics specialist who can come in and say, you know, let me help you get your arms around it, put some sort of process in place for you to track it, and then you can go off on your own.
And, I mean, obviously, once you start doing it, I got to imagine the reception from, like, the CFO and people outside of the legal department gets to be a lot more interesting when you have some numbers to say, hey, we're trying to do something about these problems, right?
Right, absolutely. And it just gives you predictability. It, like I said, it gives you street cred, and you're absolutely right. It goes outside of legal. It's going to be felt by the whole corporation or law firm. And I mean, I don't want to minimize the effort that it takes to really get a good metrics program going, but I still think the benefits greatly outweigh the effort involved. And I always say, look, it's like TiVo. The more you know, the smarter you get. So once you're 1 year, 2 years out, you're going to be smooth sailing. It's not going to be that repeated effort every time.
I want to move this back a little bit back to the Seventh Circuit program, which is such an excellent program. Do you see any metrics that you think that program is going to come out with, or if it has, or if you think it will in the future?
Well, so the purpose of the Seventh Circuit eDiscovery pilot program was to develop a set of principles that would support the federal rule amendments, but really guide litigants in how to put their arms around this eDiscovery beast, control costs. We really focused on cooperation and proportionality. And the metric side is not really part of the MO. We're not looking to become some sort of data or metrics warehouse. However, we are conducting surveys. So we completed phase one, and we conducted a survey of all the participants in the pilot to see to track the effect that the principles had in cases. And now that we're in phase two, we're going to be tracking hundreds of cases. So at the end of phase two, we will come out with some survey results, which certainly are considered metrics. And we can say, look, in this type of case, 30% of the lawyers indicated that their clients' e-discovery costs were cut in by X amount because of the principles, because we were transparent, because we cooperated. So I think people will be able to use the metrics or survey results out of the Seventh Circuit to really encourage openness, cooperation, to consider things like proportionality when you're talking about e-discovery costs. But I'm not sure it'll be this data bank, if that makes sense.
And, of course, everyone still is talking a little bit about the New York Times article in Watson on Jeopardy. Do you see the future of metrics being developed and used for some of these artificial intelligence-type models?
Absolutely. I mean, clients and lawyers need to get more comfortable with this idea that you can't lay a human eye on every single document in these large-scale litigations. It's just not reasonable. So, you know, just going back to Rule 1 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, in order to have a just, speedy, and inexpensive determination of an action, you've got to get back to the substance of the case. So that generally involves, and I know this because I've kept my metrics, that generally involves 2 to 3% of the total volume of documents that are reviewed. So if I'm looking at my whole body of data, and then I look at what documents did I use in depositions and at trial, it's 2 to 3% of that body of data. So shouldn't we be looking to get to that 2 to 3% that matters and forget about this discovery on discovery, and let's get back to the substance of the case? And I think metrics and keeping metrics like the ones I just mentioned absolutely fuel this new type of approach, this artificial intelligence, new processes that need to be applied to the review model.
Couldn't agree with you more. Since I focus in that area, it's just, you know, the reaction I was getting when I was going to large firms the week or two after was, well, we still don't know if it's defensible. Well, that's why you need the metrics, because it is.
Well,
if you look at how bad it is without using other tools, I mean, you can mess up any process.
Right.
But you know, I mean, the metrics I think are going to be key to shining the light on this.
Well, and the other metrics that I've kept in the past is really testing human review. We did a pilot at Abbott. I've done a couple of small case studies here. And human review is not the gold standard. Even the same attorney on one day can look at a document 5 hours apart and categorize it differently. So this idea that we have of human review is the end-all be-all is inaccurate. And I've actually found more accuracy when you combine that with artificial intelligence, strategic searching, sampling to see how the review is going during the review. You get much more accurate results and much more quickly.
Yeah, I've always thought that QCing is a misnomer. It should actually be training, is what
right,
it is.
Right.
But anyway, well, this is great. I appreciate finally getting a chance to have you on the show, Alex. It's been very useful information.
Thank you for having
me. And hopefully we'll have you on more shows in the future. And to the listeners, if you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd encourage you to go to www.esibytes.com with a Y for a complete list of our shows. You can also remember the show and website phonetically is EasyBytes of ESI information. So however you choose to remember us, come to ESI Bytes to learn more about eDiscovery before ESI bikes you back. This is Carl Schinneman, Director of Legal Analytics and Review from Juranov, wishing you a nice day.